You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer, IndyCornrows.com, and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Tony and I will be back tomorrow, Tuesday, for our weekly show. We're going to be a little day late because of some scheduling conflicts. Hint, Tony had to watch the Oscars tonight, and I was not available late. So we will record that on Monday, which is today, watching this podcast when you're supposed to be listening to it. And we will have our weekly show on Tuesday, so look forward to that one. I'll save some of my hotter takes for that show because that's always a good time to kind of bring out the flaming hot takes that Tony can disagree with, that we can argue for endless hours on, which you guys probably know. The past couple of shows, we've had a nice little like 15-20 minute of just yelling segment, but it's worked out. It's been good for the show, I think, and good for you guys. You guys like that, I think, when we disagree and we genuinely disagree, not just fake disagreements, but actually disagreeing. So look forward to that show tomorrow on Tuesday. On today's show, I'm just going to simply preview the Pistons game that is coming up tonight and maybe sprinkle in some takes I have about some other stuff going on, but really just going to break that down. So let's get right to that. No break in between. Let's just get right to it. So the Pacers play the Detroit Pistons tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. They will take on the Pistons team for the second time this season. The Pacers are in the midst of winning their last 8 of 9 games, which is pretty impressive for a team who lost Victor Oladipo, what, now 13 games ago, a month ago, give or take. The game is in Indiana. It'll be one of three games. I'm sorry, it's in Detroit. It'll be one of three games left the rest of the season. Against Detroit, they play them again at home on the 1st of April and then at Detroit on the 3rd of April. I think it's the last week of the season, maybe the last, like, third and second last game or fourth and third last game, something like that. So they play the Pistons team three more times, which means they'll see them a lot and they'll get to know this team. Detroit is, I mean, average might be the right word. They're average for an Eastern Conference team, let's put it that way. I believe their record is 28-30, which puts them 7th in the East. They've got good players. They don't have anybody that, wows you off the charts of, like, this guy's amazing. Blake's having a fantastic year and playing great, playing a lot of minutes. Okay, stat line, we're talking 47, 36, and 75, 25.9 points per game and 7.9 rebounds. He's having a good year. He's definitely having a resurgence of his career. I believe he hasn't missed very many games, so they played 58 and he's played 56 of them. Obviously, I think he's got a career high. Yeah, career high in points this year. Not career high in rebounds, but career high in points. Not shooting percentage-wise. I think second highest career three-point percentage of his career. That's pretty good. He's having definitely a fantastic year, sort of. Obviously, as an all-star, he's having the resurgence of Blake, but he's just not the same player he was. He's not a guy who can really, I feel like, lead a team in the playoffs. He can get a team to the playoffs, but after that, who knows? But they have some talent. Drummond is a talented player. I wouldn't overlook him too much. And Jackson, is not the greatest point guard and probably is overpaid where he is right now, but he's still a solid point guard who, if you were paying him 8 to 10, you might feel more comfortable than paying him. I think he's making 16 or close to that. Maybe it's 14 to 16 range. But they've got some players. They've got guys where you can't just walk into Detroit and say, oh, we're going to whip this team up and down the floor, because this team can make you pay. Drummond could have a 16-15 game. He's done that against the Pacers before in the past. His last game was 12-12 against the Pacers. But I know in the previous time he's had these, massive rebound nights, and Blake will make you pay. He'll probably, try to get Bojan switched on him a couple times. He'll heavily have that on him most of the game. But, Blake is going to play a lot of minutes. If he plays 36 minutes like he is playing this season, Thad might only play 32. So you're going to look at 4 or 5 minutes of him having to be guarded by some combination of TJ Leaf, Sabonis possibly. I guess with maybe McDermott if they go, or Thad, that's kind of the combination we're looking at. Miles Turner status, I don't believe it's been decided yet. I'm going to look it up real quick. I believe it's still going to be decided. I think he's going to be day-to-day, and then they'll decide actually on Monday whether to play him or not. But unless he's ruled out already, I don't think he is. So that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, if he doesn't play, I expect them to go back with the so he's questionable from Monday's game, back with the Kyle O'Quinn lineup. That also could affect things on, guess who's guarding Blake. I think with O'Quinn, and really Drummond too, with O'Quinn starting, it plays into Drummond's strengths better because there's no stretch kind of five to pull him away from the rim. It allows him to kind of clog that up. He's a better player, I think, than O'Quinn. Obviously, I don't know why I say I think. He obviously is. He's a better rebounder. He's more physical. O'Quinn is the backup version of Drummond, where he's like can do some of what Drummond can, but not to the extent. So if Turner doesn't play, that could be a huge factor in whether the Pacers win or not. However, they played well without him. I wouldn't say they played great, but they beat, I would say, I mean, okay, the Wizards are probably a little bit worse than the Pistons, and the Pelicans are probably also a little worse, especially now they don't play Davis more than 20 minutes. So I guess the Pistons are probably the best team they played in the three games without, would be the third game without Turner. But if Turner does play, I expect the Pacers to win this game, to be honest. I mean, he has got the ability to pull Drummond away from the rim, which would open things up. He can make Drummond pay on the perimeter. I mean, Turner should have a great game if he plays. Now, you know, we'll see how effective he is with the bruised tip and things like that. I don't know how painful that is and what he can do. But hopefully he can come back for this game. I don't really know which way it's leaning. However, I do think ultimately what happened if Turner doesn't play is you'll see a lot more Sabonis. And Sabonis on Drummond is going to be kind of probably the matchup to watch. Either Sabonis, Drummond, or Young, Griffin. I mean, those are kind of the two to watch. But, I mean, that's where the Pacers are going to win this game is they're probably not going to outplay Blake. Let's put it that way. I mean, Blake is having a fantastic year, like I said, but can you put Thad on him and hold him to 20-6 or 20? I mean, I guess he's putting up right now. He's 25-8. I guess or 26-8. Like I said, and say you hold him to 20 points. I mean, that would be a win. Last time they beat this Pistons team, they really just came out and sort of ran him off the floor. Remember, right? Obviously, they had Oladipo, but it was one of those games where everybody was playing well. There was a lot of ball movement. I mean, you look at the team, they shot 61%. I mean, that's abnormal. I don't know if you can expect that again. But they took advantage of the Pistons' lack of spacing on defense and kind of were able to draw guys away into positions they don't want to be in and kick the ball around and get the ball moving and get other guys good shots. I mean, I think that's why you saw Turner, who was 8 of 11 that game for 17. I mean, that was one of Turner's better games this season. I mean, he's had a lot of games now, so I don't know that ranks on best games. You know, before I could rank Turner's best games because he had like 5 of them. Now he's had, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 good games. So, but it was a good night for Turner. He's plus 11 in that time last time they played. So, I mean, he is probably the X factor. If he plays or not, can make the difference. If O'Quinn plays, it's going to be a lot closer. It actually could be a lot more comfortable. One, it's in Detroit. So that's also a kind of thing to look at. If it's in Detroit, you know, I say at home, the Pacers always have the advantage. That's against the Warriors just because they've got a great home crowd. They're a great home team. I believe now they're 23-7 at home. Or 24-7. Let me look that up real fast. But they're a great home team. So, I mean, that's where I give an advantage. And, you know, I think Turner makes kind of a neutral game. So the 23-8 home, sorry, makes them a neutral team without Turner. With Turner, they're the better team by a slight margin. So let's say Turner doesn't play. Let's run that scenario. I think the slack's going to be picked up, obviously, by Sabonis. You have to see Young defensively contender to pick up some of that slack. And then you're really going to see jump shooting, so you're gonna have to rely on Collison's 3-point shot a ton. Matthews obviously being kind of that sniper three, which, man, Matthews has been, I mean, I guess I wouldn't call him like he's been fantastic, but he's really starting to fit in here. And that's, now I know Tony wrote a really great piece on it, but he's kind of finding his spot. You know, he's sometimes being rushed in those end of shot clock, you know, 25-foot threes, which aren't the greatest shots, but you know, let's just take his last four, so let's take a 3-point percentage over the four games. So he had that New Orleans game where he took a ton of threes and really fit in, 6 of 11. But so he's made, just doing math real quick in my head, he has made 20, he's taken 27 threes and made 12 of them, which is what, 12 of 27 is about a little less than half, so probably somewhere close to 40%. Maybe actually probably higher than 40%, right? 13.5 would be the number. I don't know, I can't do it quite in my head, but he's having a pretty good kind of run with 3-point land. And this could be kind of a game where he will get a lot of those because I don't think, without Turner, they're going to be a clog lane. It's going to be hard to get to the rim. You could see that in the Pacers game against the Pelicans a lot. You could see, especially early on, they kind of figured it out, but you could see that some of those passing lanes were cut off. They were expected to be there because O'Quinn was kind of, he's just a more clunky center in the middle than the way Turner even some bonuses. But Matthews might be the player who, if Turner doesn't play, has to step up the most. He's played well. Matthews 24 on Friday and 14 on Saturday, so would I be surprised if he had a good game? No, I wouldn't. He could be the difference. You know, it seems, I will say, each time he plays, like he's getting better and better with this team. But like I said, Collison's going to be huge. And really, the bench is going to be really where this the bigger, I guess, X factor in the game in terms of just like, that's how they can really win this game is because they have a better bench than the the Pistons. So the Pistons in their last game, they started a combination. I believe they started Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond. Let me pull up it real quick. I had it up for a second. Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Wayne Ellington, and who they started a new guy, B. Brown. I think Bruce Brown. So, that fifth guy's not great, but they bring off the bench. Their sixth man is Ish Smith, and they got Thonmaker playing off there now, and they got a little Zaza. I mean, they just, you know, and Langston Galloway, that's probably their bench. I know Glenn Robinson doesn't really play a ton. So, I mean, they just don't have a great bench where you could see a scenario where Evans and Joseph and Sabonis really could take advantage of really all those guys. I mean, I think Tyreek will be guarded by, I guess, Langston Galloway. He should be able to take him pretty well. Ish Smith on Kojo. I mean, there's an opportunity there for the Pacers really to kind of just keep it close with the starters and run away with the bench. I don't really, even if Miles Turner's play, because I'm assuming he's going to be maybe 75-80% of what he should be, I don't expect the Pacers to blow them out if they win. It was just to be close, back and forth. And, you know, the past few times, we haven't really seen it like yet. I mean, we saw against Wizards a little bit. We haven't quite seen them play a super close game without Vic yet that they've won. I believe the last close game the Pacers played without Vic was, which one was it? Was it, I guess, the Memphis game? Was not super close. The Bucks one, that would be probably the closest one, and they lost that one. It ended up being a 9-point game, but it was probably closer than that. The Pelicans one was definitely a really close game, 2-point game. So, I mean, mixed results without Vic at the end of games. They haven't really seen one with Matthews yet. I think Matthews, right, he played against the Bucks, but I think he's played 4 games, Hornets, Bucks, Pelicans, Wizards. I don't know who I'm asking. I'm talking to myself right now. But he's played 4 games, so we haven't seen him. Maybe Matthews is that clutch player they need. Collison obviously is very clutch. I feel like he's been kind of their second best clutch player in this last 2-year run. But they're not as successful in clutch games, put it that way. You know, if you played 10 close games, I would say winning 7 is the expected outcomes. Now it's maybe winning 4, which, I mean, that might even be high. But, you know, in these games that go back and forth, depending on who you're playing, but they just don't have that guy anymore, and that's a huge issue. But, you know, it's things you can't prepare for. It's not like this team is flawed because they don't have that guy. It's because an injury happened, they couldn't prepare for it, but they're doing the best they can. But, you know, it should be a problem. I mean, that'd be a problem in the playoffs. It'd be a problem in the stretch. But I think the Detroit game is winnable. So they're at 40 wins now. If they can beat Detroit all 3 times, which I guess probably 2 out of 3 is reasonable, because you probably don't beat a team, sweep a team for 4 games in a season. That just is rare in general, unless it's like a really awful team like the Hawks or the Cavs this year, for example, which they're not going to sweep anyways. They lost to the Cavs once. But, you know, if they can get 2 of these 3 against the Pistons, they get them to 42. They got a couple other winnable games. I mean, we're getting closer where this team could be probably a 50-win team. I think that's kind of the number. That might not be a 3-seed number, but 50 wins is a successful season, especially when Vic only plays 36 games. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, the goal. The over-under obviously was, 47.5 when the year started. So it would be hard for me to see them not reach that 48-win mark and beat the over-under on the year, which then makes this year a success. I understand the 3-seed is the goal. That's the end game here, because that means you can probably win a playoff series. But I think winning 50 games is nothing to be ashamed of if that's what ends up happening. Other things to watch in this game, I guess, would be Bogdan should have a pretty decent game. He'll probably be guarded by Wayne Ellington, be my guess. That's how they'll play it, if I had a guess. I don't know, he's been playing great of late, so I don't see any reason why Bogdan should just continue, will start to struggle, but he could have a bad game, I guess. But, you know, they should have with O'Quinn, they have less spacing, but they should be able to get guys, you know, 3-point shots open for guys and run some plays. I mean, they should, with O'Quinn, you can do a little more screens and actions off him because he's a bigger and a better, a bigger body, so he's a better screener than Turner. He's better, but he's a bigger body, so you can run things more like that. So you can run more of those side screens and side actions and all that stuff. But I don't see any reason Bojan doesn't have. I don't see Bojan having like this fantastically awesome game, but I consider Bojan probably having his classic, you know, 19 points on 7 of 11 shooting. Or I mean, he's taking a lot more shots. He took 15 last game, so maybe his last game was 8 of 15 for 18 points. I mean, that's the kind of game I see Bojan having. But I think if they're going to win, it's going to come at the bench exploiting the other bench and really Thaddeus Young's defense, and if Turner plays his offense. I mean, Turner could have a 25-point game if he really tried. But and, you know, they're going to need consistency from the other guys, but that's where I see the matchups kind of favoring the Pacers right there. You know, prediction, like I said, I think the Pacers, I think Turner doesn't play if I had a guess, which is just a gut feeling. I don't know any information on that, so, you know, I could be wrong by the time the podcast even comes out. I bet he doesn't play. I bet the Pacers win by 5 points. Make that, what, eight? Now they would have been 9 of the last 11 games? Or I think they've won 8 of 9, so it would be 9 of 10. Push them to 41 wins, and we'll see where they go from here. Tony and I will be, like I said, back on Tuesday with a podcast. That will be a great weekly show. We'll recap the last week, the Pistons game including. If it's a close game, maybe we'll do a fourth quarter podcast, but I don't know if we can figure that one out. That's always a hard thing to do. I haven't done any of those this year. Maybe we'll do some in March as the games. You know, they haven't played a ton of close games, to be honest. Pacers, you know, we've talked about it a few times, and they end up not playing super close games. But just coming up later in the week, that we've got a Dallas, Minnesota, Orlando week coming up. So we'll preview all three of those games. We'll break down some of the things we noticed from the Pelicans, Wizards, and obviously Pistons games since the break. You know, I think we're trying to incorporate maybe a mailbag segment into each weekly show now. So if you have a question, you want to send it in, we'll try to snag that. If not, we'll put it to, you know, cause I think with March and all the games, it's going to be hard to do a specific mailbag show, although we might try to do one before the playoffs. So maybe if you guys got a question, send it in. I'll try to notice it. Send it to FreedomAdam5 or at Locked On Pacers or at TeastNBA. I'll tell Tony to kind of flag them. We might not do every question each show, but, you know, two or three in a kind of a segment just to mix it up because, you know, I know we did the free agent segment for a while and that kind of faded because obviously, or I guess not free agent, trade deadline segment, but that obviously faded because the trade deadline has passed. So that's what we're looking towards. And if you guys have any other ideas for interesting segments, let us know. We'd be happy to entertain those thoughts. As always, you can tweet me at FreedomAdam5, Tony at TeastNBA, and our podcast at Locked On Pacers. That is all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.